I want to show you this. This is the work of my pastor, our pastor, Brother Wayne Reynolds, and he undertook to do this decades ago, when because he had Brother Wayne, he began to pastor or began to preach, was surrendered to preach, and then began to pastor, I believe, in the 70s. And so this is an excerpt of his work. It's a work likened to I believe, an Anglican Church of England Archbishop James Usher. Okay, and he took the Bible back in his day. I can't remember what century he was in, 16th, 17th, something like that. And so he undertook to take the Bible and put a timeline together from the Bible, from what the Scripture gives us, and that it might be understood about the age of the earth, all right, and significant events, and the Lord's working. And so Brother Wayne, he was in that day when evolution had been pushed, when he was in college, and it was kind of a more new kind of thing. I mean, it wasn't new, but it was certainly new to him, and it had invaded the universities and such. And when he went to be an accountant, that's what he went to college for, it was really, really pushed and hammered. He never was taught anything like that in high school, I don't believe, but when he hit college, it was rampant. And so he wrangled with evolution, and can that be put together with the Scriptures or not? And so he just undertook this work to find out what the Bible said about the timeline, and found out that with the Bible, we can know the age of the earth. Okay, and so this work that he has done is, he calls it the 6,000-year earth, and it's available electronically. It's available in hard copy, too, so if you'd want a hard copy, we could get you one. But it's available electronically, and that's what I'm using here. And this is an excerpt from his timeline. So you can see he's got a timeline going up here at the top. And so here's 600-ish years before the time of Christ. And he's got significant things here in the timeline. And so here we see, I forgot my pointer. I can't bring it all at the same time. See King Josiah up there at the top, and it gives the time of his reign. And then based on when his sons came to reign, it gives the time of their birth back into the time of Josiah's reign. And we see the main thing that I wanted to point out to you, and it's not a difficult thing if they tell us in the Scriptures about the time that different prophets received, gave, wrote their prophecy, okay? And Brother Zephaniah, his prophecy came during the time of Josiah. Now there's Brother Wayne's got here 639 B.C. to 611 B.C., there's also a possibility of pulling, information from Jewish history, if there's something that's understood there. Some of these things are, the best that you can do with the information that you have. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about the life of Zephaniah, but Brother Wayne may have done some studying into some Jewish history to find that out. But we know that Zephaniah's prophecy came during the time of Josiah, and that he was only a prophet during the time of Josiah. Okay, so Zephaniah tells us that. That was the time of his prophecy. Important to this is also Brother Jeremiah, right? We've been taking a look at some of Jeremiah's prophecy, and so we see how that overlaps. Brother Jeremiah, he came to, his prophecy was in the time of Josiah, and he tells us that he is a prophet of Judah, unto Judah, all the way into the captivity, okay? So it spans Josiah, and then his three sons and grandson that's mixed in there that we're taking a look at in particular. And so the prophecy that Zephaniah had about the Lord saying that he was going to punish the princes and... Let me get the quote. Let me get the exact quote for you here. Punish the princes and the king's children. Okay, that came in Zephaniah's prophecy. And so we want to see about that. And then also with Brother Jeremiah, we read last time about how the Lord, and before the time previous, how the Lord had said, you're not going to use this proverb in Israel or in Israel or Judah anymore. The children or the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and then the children's teeth are set on edge, that the children are paying for the sins of their fathers. The Lord says it's not going to be. Every soul is going to stand before me, and I'm going to deal with them in particular. And he gave us this lineup about how a man that came and obeyed, and then a son that saw his obedience but chose not to and disobeyed, and then a grandson that would come on the line and that would see the wickedness of his father and obey, okay? And then how that righteousness, that the Lord would look to that and honor that, but the wickedness and sin and disobedience wasn't going to be transferred from the fathers to the sons, but every soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Lord also put something in there where he said, if that one that sins, if he'll see his iniquity and turn from it and repent, then the Lord would bless him and honor him. But then that one that's obedient and that was pursuing righteousness, but he just one day decides he's just not going to do that anymore, not going to go that way and start sinning, being wicked, you know, in whatever case it would be, like the father or whichever, then all his righteousness will be forgotten and he'll stand there in his sin before God. Now understand, let's make this clear. The Lord's not talking about a way of salvation here. The subject is accountability for our sin and our transgression before God. You and I are accountable. You and I are accountable for our sins before God. And if you're not saved, your accountability is far and but beyond anything that you can handle. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, you are on your own, and you do not and will not fare well with your sin before God. But being saved, we have an advocate. We have a Savior. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's forgiven us of our sins. And we go from this of a sinner that is against God and away from God. We come to this of being a child, a son of God, who the Lord will rebuke and chasten for our sins. But having the Lord Jesus as Savior, we will not be eternally cast out at all. And we are the Lord's and are secure in Him, and He will bring us to Him. But let us never take and presume against the Lord in that blessed state of being saved and being a child of God, because the Lord knows how to handle presumptuous children. So just want to make that side note there. Sin is bad against the Lord. It's an affront to His holiness and His righteousness. He's not joking around about it or kidding around by it at all, kidding around with it at all. And it is serious business. And the Lord in that day says the soul that sins, it'll die. So we want to understand. I wanted you to see and maybe help out with a visual here about the prophecy. Zephaniah says the Lord's going to punish the king's children and the princes, and that comes in Josiah's day before his son's reign. Then Brother Jeremiah brought this about, he's one that brings this about the sour grapes proverb, along with Brother Ezekiel. We see Brother Ezekiel, he's way on down here in the days of the captivity, but we reference that from the sake of it, of rehearsing it and what the Lord says about it. The Lord's attitude's the same. And then I want to show you this. And this is a fine graphic to show us about the final reign of these kings. And if you know your Bible, if you know some of the history, remember some of the history about these kings of Judah, Remember Brother Hezekiah? He was. It was said of him that he was a good king. He was a good king. You know what happened with Hezekiah? Remember about him? Lord says, Isaiah, go down there and tell Hezekiah he's going to die. You believe that Hezekiah was going to die? He sure was. He sure was. You know what Hezekiah did? He prayed unto the Lord. And what was it? The Lord gave him another 10, 15 years? Do you think that the Lord was joking around with Isaiah when he told him in the court to go back and tell Isaiah or Hezekiah he was going to die? Or no, he told him to go back to tell him he was going to live. But he wasn't. The Lord was serious. It wasn't a setup. It wasn't a facade. He was going to die. But you know what? Hezekiah prayed. And the Lord told Brother Isaiah in the court to go back and tell Hezekiah he's going to give him some more years. Do you think that that was notable in the court and in Judah? It was written down by the prophet. It was told around by the prophets. It was told around in the court. No doubt there were some in the household that said, I thought he was going to die. But then the word came, he prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord was merciful to him and gave him some more years. You know, that was a witness to Manasseh, but you know what? Manasseh was wicked for 50-some years. He's a wicked king, and he reigned for a long, long time. But if my memory serves me correct, Manasseh repented. The Lord said about Manasseh that his wickedness was so great that blood touched blood in Judah. The crimes and the sinfulness and the wickedness that Manasseh pursued and purported amongst the people and supported and followed after. Here was a crime and here was a crime, and the blood just ran together, It was just terrible. And the Lord squeezed him, I think, by taking him into captivity some. And he repented in that. And that was a notable thing. It got written down in the scriptures. And we can take a look at that. Ammon, you know, he saw all the wickedness of his daddy. He no doubt heard about the repentance of his daddy. And you know what? He was nothing but wicked. Wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked. But he had a son, Josiah. And you know what was what it was about Josiah? He was a youngster when he began to reign. But you know what? He wanted to do right before the Lord. Lord said it. He was interested in it. He followed it to the T. Best he could. It says about Brother Josiah that they hadn't had a Passover like they had in Israel when he found out about how the Passover should have been done. They hadn't had a Passover like that, if I remember right and understand it right, since even before David. You know, that dawned on me some time ago, some years ago, even before David. So you see what's happening here, coming down through here? Men that have an interest in what the Lord says and following after what the Lord says and doing that and applying it to their lives, applying it to the kingdom, and the Lord blesses them and helps them. Doing wickedness, being squeezed and rebuked by the Lord and repenting and having at least relief from that. But then seeing the obedience of their fathers and just bent on wickedness no matter what. Who cares? I'm going to do what I want to do. And then you've got a little fella here that comes to reign, and in time he has these sons. And they have the witness of all these four generations back behind them. And the Lord's uttered a prophecy against them in the days of their dad, Josiah. And that's what we're going to look at starting tonight, about the Lord meeting out what he prophesied by Brother Zephaniah regarding these three sons and one grandson of Brother Josiah. In 2 Kings chapter 23, 2 Kings, I told you to turn to Zephaniah. We're here at this verse, chapter 1, verse 8. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. The Lord is going to deal with them. They're not going to use that proverb. It's not going to be pushed down the road. It's going to be dealt right with them. 2 Kings chapter 23. Let's take a look over here. Joseph, if you would turn on the light, because I can't see. Thank you. Thank you very much. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we pick it up here at verse number 30. And in this chapter 23, it tells about the blessings and the pursuits of Josiah and the Lord's blessings upon him. Josiah is killed suddenly in battle, and we kind of have a, it kind of rankles us a little bit as we think about that. You know, all of us want to live, and that's right. We should want to live. But there was an overhanging pressure of this iniquity of Judah. It's like a weight hanging on them that the Lord has got to deal with. And it's almost, to me, I think about Josiah being killed in battle the way that he was and his death seemingly so sudden, even though he was such a blessed king of the Lord. I kind of look at that as that, I wonder, maybe it's a better way to say it, I wonder that, you know, the time had just come for the Lord to deal with the nation's sins. And, you know, he took his son out of there so he wouldn't have to watch it. I just wonder about that. Because there's no condemnation against Josiah. Some could say that maybe he was confederate with a king that he shouldn't have been, and I think there's probably an argument there. But yeah, the pressure of this iniquity is just the Lord was going to deal with it, and maybe it was just time to get on to deal with it. We saw about how what these other prophets had written. And the anger of the Lord is indeed great. In 2 Kings 23, we pick it up in verse number 30. This is speaking of Josiah. And his servants carried him in a chariot, dead from Megiddo, that's up north, and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Now, if we understand this right, Jehoahaz is the youngest. There's one son that is suspicioned, we suppose, rather, that he died young, because nothing is mentioned to him other than he being the firstborn. And then this Jehoahaz is the youngest of Josiah's four sons. And it says here that the people took him, and the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him king, anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Now, remember what the prophecy was from Brother Jeremiah in Jeremiah 22. We read it last time. Jeremiah 22, verses 11 through 30. The prophecy that had been given by Jeremiah, which, you know, is now over in the time before Jehoahaz would come to reign and right there at the beginning of his reign. The prophecy was from Jeremiah that he will not come home to his land. They'll take him captive and he will die there. So here's what we read. So Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? First month's great. Things are going along good. Fifth week, sixth week, seventh week, eighth week. By the 12th, by the 13th week, you are in Egypt, captive. And his name, his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah, put him in irons in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he put the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah, his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. And took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt, and he died there. Just like the Lord told Jeremiah to prophesy that it would come to pass. You know, that's sad. It's kind of sad here at the end of the kings of the nation of Judah, because five kings are wrapped up in just a few chapters. You know, where there's chapter after chapter after chapter written about other kings, these are just all wrapped up just in very short order. It's pitiful, isn't it? It's a sad thing. But that's what sin and iniquity and going away from God will do to any of us. It'll do that to any of us. Going away from the Lord, disobeying the Lord, not honoring the Lord, not seeking the Lord. It'll do that to any of us and say, well, I'm young, I'm exempt. No, I'm senior, I'm old, I'm exempt. No, I'm in the prime of my life. I'm right. It won't. I can endure it. No, it affects us all. And there he was, 20 some years old, and now in prison, in bondage, in Egypt. And the Lord said it was so. Now, what did the Lord say about Hezekiah? The Lord said to Hezekiah he was going to die. You know what Jehoahaz could have done? He could have prayed. When he heard the prophecy of Jeremiah, you know what? He could have sought the Lord's face. Oh, it's all done. You can't do nothing. No, we can't do anything about it, but the Lord can. That's the reason the Lord tells us what he tells us in the scripture. Hezekiah was going to die. But he sought the Lord's face. He didn't go to the doctor. He didn't send down to Egypt for the best, or up to Assyria or Syria for the best. He sought the Lord's face. That's a promise that the Lord gave Israel, that if his people would seek his face, confess their sins, repent, and seek his face, he would heal their land. And I think that's a principle with the Lord. And may the Lord help us that we would repent and seek the Lord's face and beg him to heal our land. It's too late. You know, when's it ever impossible or too late with the Lord? When? With me and you, yes. But Jehoahaz, he didn't take heed. How could his great grandfather Manasseh be delivered from all of his wickedness and stuff, and all, and been taken captive, and then be restored for a short period of time, if it wasn't for the Lord moving? Manasseh repented. He was guilty of a lot of stuff. And we're going to see where that played out in Judah. It did. The Lord mentions that specifically. And so here we have Jehoahaz and a sad, sad thing. Chapter 23, verse number 34. Here we have Eliakim, and he is he's the second oldest of Josiah, as it tells us in 1 Chronicles 3:15. And Pharaoh Necho, he's in control. And How would you like it for your name to be what it is, and then they say, from now on, your name is Jim, but from now on it's Sam. It's just a point of humiliation. What's your name? Jim? Nope. Your name is Sam. So you've got to say it when you're asked it. And then when people say your name, you've got to respond to it. Think about that. Your name is Eliakim, but from now on, your name's going to be Jehoiakim. From now on. And so he makes him king, and he's the son of Josiah, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, verse 34, and took Jehoahaz away, as we read. Verse 35, and Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. And he exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give unto Pharaoh Necho. And Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebuda, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. So he saw what happened to his brother. He was made king and his name changed at 25 years old. And then he was burdened down with this grievous taxation of the land. He became a tax collector for Pharaoh Necho, and he's king. There's an element of humiliation about that, to have to take and beat that and whip that out of your own people. Did he repent? No. Did he submit and turn like the Lord said that if a man would repent, that he would honor him and help him? No, he didn't. The Lord just wasn't interesting enough to him. He just went his own evil way, not like his father, but like his grandfather and his great grandfather. He didn't do like his great 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 grandfather. Forgot about that. We read on in chapter 24, in his days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Go from one master to another. Don't have choice about freedom. That's non-existent in the land anymore. The land is going to belong, and the king is going to belong, and the court's going to belong to somebody. And now it's Nebuchadnezzar. And you remember what we read last time that Jeremiah warned the nation about? He said, I'm going to give all of this, all you nations, including Israel and you kings of Judah, I'm going to give all of it to my servant Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what you need to do? You need to submit. And if you submit, you'll be able to live in your own land. You'll be able to stay there. You'll be able to have your own fields and you have your own cattle and have your own house. And you'll be able to stay there if you submit. Then he turned, it says in verse number 1, and rebelled against him. Now when the Lord brought that prophecy by Brother Jeremiah, as we read last time, was the Lord kidding? Was he joking about what he said? Was it just kind of something to take up space and fill up words? No. And so here it is. We've got a king. He's got a longer reign so far, longer than his brother. He's subject to these other kings because he just hadn't have the power to be out from underneath of them. And the Lord sent a definite word through his prophet to be subject to the one that the Lord sent to be over them. And what's he do? He bucks up and rebels. You know what that's going to mean? That's going to mean he's not going to stay in his land. Now, if he would have learned from Hezekiah, if he'd have learned from that tail end of Manasseh's life, or he'd have learned from the obedience of his father, he would have got to stay there. But he rebelled. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, verse 2, and bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites. Oh, my. I thought it was just the Babylonians I was dealing with. You know, that's right. I mean, the Lord can take a, he can take disobedience, and where some would think, we might think that, well, I'll just endure the what the Lord gives me because I want this so bad. I'm just going to do this. I want this so bad. And surely he won't bring, I tell you what, he can bring the terror down on anyone and everyone for sin and disobedience and iniquity and wickedness to where you and I wouldn't even think to know. We wouldn't even know how bad it is. Here he's got it coming from all sides. And the bands of the children of Ammon from down south and sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant, the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight. Now here's this, for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. Brother Jim, I thought you said that we're making a transition, the Lord's making a transition here from everybody's going to stand on their own rather than the fathers passing down sins to their sons. Well, that's just it. It's transition. The sins of that king that reigned 50 some years are going to be meted out on the nation. It's come down here. But you know what? As we go on past this, we're going to see indeed that every person stands on their own before the Lord. And certainly you and I do today. Listen to what it says. And also for the innocent blood that Manasseh shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. This would be the grandson of Josiah. And the king of Egypt came not again any more out of his land. Why? For the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt, that is the Nile, under the river Euphrates, all that pertained to the king of Egypt. Well, Nebuchadnezzar got lucky in his conquest, didn't he? No, the Lord gave him all that. Because the Lord was going to deal with that sin and iniquity. Quickly, we want to read this in Jeremiah chapter 36. Remember the prophecy from Brother Jeremiah in chapter 22 of Jeremiah regarding Jehoiakim, was there was no would be no lament for him, no crying, no mourning, and that he would have the burial of a donkey. I tell you what, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Pretty bad. Jeremiah 36. It is. It's terrible. They would bury him like they would look to dispose of cattle, livestock. Well, Jeremiah 36 tells us about it. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto these against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them. Did you and I just hear the Lord saying he was warning them in advance? That's what he's done with us today, is he's warned us all in advance. He's warned us. May the Lord help us. We hear him. And we believe him. It may be the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, verse 3, there in the middle, that they may return every man from his evil way, that they may forgive their, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. And so this gives us an insight about distribution of prophecies. You know, so this is something that's significant about how is it that when Zephaniah wrote, it would have been heard, and by whom? So here with Jeremiah, we see what he said here to do. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord to repent, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him in the reading of the reading in the book, the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from cities of Judah unto Jerusalem, which is a good thing. Then read Baruch in the book, the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, and Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard. When Baruch read the book in the ears, when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people, therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thy hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass when they had heard all the words that they were afraid both one and another. And they said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words? How did thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king and to the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delilah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelmiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words with which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, "Take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast." He says, why are you asking that question? "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I pronounced against them, but they hearkened not." Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. So it had been prophesied that he would have the burial of a donkey, that no one would lament for him. And here we see why. The Lord brought this grievous judgment down upon him because of his rebellion against the word of God. Rebellion against the word of God. Taking it like this and cutting it up and burning it. Taking it and hearing it and rejecting it. Taking it and just totally ignoring it and don't have anything to do with it. May God help us that we not discount, reject the word of God. What should he have done? What could he have done? Repent. That's the reason that the Lord sent Jeremiah to prophesy the prophecy that he did, that they might repent, even the king, to repent. But he didn't follow the example of Hezekiah, did he? Nor Manasseh at the end, nor the way of Josiah. But he followed his own way. And you know what? He died there. He died there just like the Lord said he would. What a terrible, terrible thing. Well, we're stopping here for tonight. And Lord willing, next time we'll pick it up here to start and see what the Lord says about his grandson, Coniah, Jeconiah, Jehoiachin. And see what's goes on with him, and see about in that we'll see about the mercy of the Lord, and how the Lord accomplishes his purpose, will always do so, and how he is merciful, and that this mercy extended to Coniah extends all the way down here to you and me today. It's a wondrous, wondrous thing. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We point you to him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. And we as the children of the Lord, may we repent before our Lord for our sins, our transgressions. May we not discount the way and the word of the Lord. May we follow him in it, seek his face in it, and turn from our wickedness. Not be settled that we think we know the right way. and of our own conceit and our own wisdom, but that we would follow the way that the Lord gives us indeed.